Have you recently heard anyone give his personal testimony of what the Lord has done for him? Just recently? Do you remember the last time you heard a person get up and say, or in maybe just talking to you or to anybody, in the past 24 hours, last night, this morning, yesterday afternoon, the Lord did this for me, the Lord did that for me? If you've ever heard that, you know how it stirs your heart. It makes you sober. It makes you thoughtful. And I think some of us would be somewhat inclined to wonder whether a man ought to do it or not. I would just say to you just now in passing that testimony of what the Lord has done is a very stimulating thing to other people. And by the way, if it is sincerely told, it is generally received with appreciation and with respect. If a man will tell you of how the Lord has dealt with him, there isn't anything you can do but just stand quietly and listen. You may privately, in your own heart and mind, even wonder whether he's telling you the truth. But he's telling the story, and he's telling it the way it happened to him. And then if you can see that in him there's been an actual change because of it, you can't help but be affected by it. When the Apostle Paul had been mobbed by Jews in Jerusalem who thought he was coming there to undo their Jewish customs and to cause disturbance in that fashion, Paul got the privilege of standing up in public and talking to these people. And in chapter 22 of the book of Acts, you have Paul's speech, which he made to the mob in Jerusalem, trying to show them the genuineness of his own personal experience and just what the full meaning of it was. And in our last study, we had gotten down in chapter 22 to verse 10, just as Paul was reporting exactly what had happened. No argument about it, just telling exactly what happened. And now in verse 11, when we're going on with this, we'll just read and see what Paul has to say. Paul had seen this bright light, a great light shining from heaven round about him, and the people who were with Paul had seen the light, but they couldn't hear the voice. They didn't know what had been said to him. And Paul had asked him, saying, "What shall I do, Lord?" And the Lord said unto me, "Arise, go into Damascus. There it shall be told unto thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do." Now at verse 11, chapter 22, verse 11. "And when I could not see for the glory of that light," he would possibly, you might say, his eyes had been blinded. Perhaps you've been in a place somewhere where you've had to look into a bright light. And have you ever noticed when you've looked into a bright light, when you turn away and look away, you can't see anything for a time? Well, maybe something like that happened here. I'm not sure that Paul was stricken blind in the sense that something happened to the physical operation of his eyes in such a way that the optic nerve was shattered or anything like that. I'm not sure that's what happened. But I do know that he had the actual experience of being stricken blind and that he couldn't see. He was dazed, as it were, by the glory of that light. "When I could not see for the glory of that light," because he had looked into this, suddenly into this bright light, brighter than the noonday sun, and it just left him seeing black, that's all. "Being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus, and one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews." It's interesting to see what he has to say about Ananias. We have studied him before. You will remember in our recent studies, we have gone in noticing various things about these various men, and we had taken note of Ananias as we went through that in chapter 9, about things about this man. But here Paul reports about him. He was a devout man according to the Jews, which is to say, he was a man who honored the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He honored the law and kept the law, and he honored the temple worship, and he kept his part in that, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there. They had nothing but good to say of this man. "And this responsible, good man came to me," says in verse 13, "came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him." Right then he was able to see. And he said, listen to Ananias, this is the way Paul puts it. And he said, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldst know his will, and see that just one, and shouldst hear the voice of his mouth, for thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. Notice what is given to him. The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldst know his will. Understand the plan of God. You are to come to understand what God wants to do. And by the way, that would include, it would involve all Paul's knowledge of the Old Testament scriptures, and Paul's knowledge of the way God had done things, his knowledge of the life and death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, all of these things. The God of our fathers hath chosen thee that thou shouldst know his will. You are to be a person who knows what God wants done, and see that just one and shouldst hear the voice of his mouth. You are to have personal dealing and personal fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And God's way of preparing this witness is to give him a knowledge of the will of God and give him personal dealings with Jesus Christ. I don't want to spend too long on this, because I'm not sure just how it will develop in your heart or in the heart of any other person who might be listening to me. I do think, though, it's worth noting that for those of us, any of us, that God has called, he wants us to know his will, come to understand his plan. And by the way, his will is that we should believe on him whom he hath sent. His will is that we should trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we should see that just one, referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, and should hear the voice of his mouth. You should have personal dealings with Jesus Christ and understand what he wants you to do, because you're to be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. Now verse 16, Ananias goes on to say, now why tarriest thou? Why not respond at once? Arise, get up right now, do this thing. Be baptized, that is, publicly identify yourself with the name of Jesus Christ. Let everybody know by an action of yours in public that you belong to those who believe in him and who profess faith in him. Be baptized. Wash away thy sins. Now that would, from the way in which it reads, you could get the impression that the ceremony of baptism would have something to do with the washing away of sins. But actually, I think that the meaning of baptism, coming under the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, will actually take away your sins, because you'll remember that when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, according to the gospel, he died for your sins, and your sins are laid upon him. And then also that if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you receive him, and he comes into your heart, he'll deliver you from the power of sin, and he will take away from you the stain of sin. He'll wash you whiter than snow, calling on the name of the Lord. Now notice, arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. That is to say, you can actually do what is necessary to be delivered from your sins on condition that you will give yourself over to the name of the Lord, trusting in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, committing yourself to him. And so that's what Ananias told him. He said, God has chosen you that you should know his will. You should have personal dealings with the Lord Jesus Christ because you're to be his witness. And since that's the case, why not get up right now and be baptized, make a public profession of your faith in Jesus Christ, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Be delivered from sin in yourself through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ by being born again, regenerated, and having the Holy Spirit in you, who will bring the things of God into your very soul. After the fashion of the new covenant, write the law in your heart and put a new spirit within you. That kind of thing. Now in verse 17, Paul goes on to say, and it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance, and saw him saying unto me. Notice how that's put. It says, saw him saying unto me. You see, that takes your attention away from any form. It takes your attention away from any figure that he saw. Saw him, recognized him, saying unto me. He had a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ there, and in a trance, he had some representation of the person of Jesus Christ that came to him in the way of talking to him. That's the important thing. He saw him saying unto me, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And so he told the Jews that the Lord Jesus himself had urged him to leave Jerusalem at once. And I said, Lord, they know that I am imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. When you take verses 19 and 20, when Paul is saying that he said to the Lord, Lord, they know all that. They wouldn't misunderstand me now. They know I was genuinely opposed to the Christian gospel. They respect it. He said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. And now look at verse 22. They gave him audience unto this word. They had listened to him quietly and patiently right down to this one word, Gentiles. And then lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. And as they cried out and cast off their clothes and threw dust into the air, the chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle, brought him back into the courthouse, into the city hall. He had gotten nowhere in the whole thing. Now they listened to the whole talk. They listened to his personal testimony. They listened to what the Lord had said to him, and they listened patiently all through that. But when he said he was going to go to the Gentiles, this old mob feeling arose again, and again they were prejudiced against him. They wouldn't listen to him one bit more. Our God and Heavenly Father, we pray that thou wilt graciously keep us close to thyself, and do thou deal with us and show us thy will, that we may be among those who walk in the Lord, knowing and trusting in thee. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.